Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
The root of prosperity is understanding how much God loves you. That God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son. And the Bible says, if he gave his only son, how much more will he give us all these other things to richly enjoy? Covenant paths. Now, if all I do is talk about prosperity, like I did the last two weeks, it doesn't give you anything to do. You enjoy the message, but any sermon that doesn't give you actions to take is just theater. So this is entitled Covenant Pathways to Financial Fortune. God is not a respecter of persons. So anyone that does what the word says has the word work for them. What are the pathways? And I'm going to give you four. But before I do, where is this financial fortune thing? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Great to have you in church today. Silence. Okay, I tried to build a bridge to the crowd. I quit. Genesis 12, 1. You can't say nice things to Texans. They clam up on you. Genesis 12, 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. Say that with me. I will make you into a great nation. Now, you can see revival today. If you could have been with me when the Lord called me and I started preaching about being made into a great nation, there was we were in laughable condition. But now you're starting to see that element of prosperity, that you start hiring people. One of the scriptures the Lord gave me, the Bible says about the blessing of God. It starts as a mustard seed, but then turns into the strongest of trees, and birds make their nest in it. And the Lord said, one day people will live, will drive. I was having trouble having a livelihood in the ministry. The Lord said, don't worry, stay on the path. That's why we're calling it covenant pathways. It's not a destination. It's a pathway you walk. Stay on the path. And one day there'll be families, plural, that draw their full-time salaries off of the excess of what I'm giving you. Well, we're here now. I never thought that day. It would have been impossible for me to say, there was no Jay, Pastor Jay. There was no Pastor Kofi. There's no one to say, now listen, you two hop on an American Airlines flight and go down to Fort Worth. I couldn't afford a plane ticket for me. And Abraham is Abram is 70 years old, living in his father's house. And God never speaks about the present. He speaks about the future. Abram, leave your father's family, your native country, and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. And I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and I will make of thee a mighty nation. That's happening right now. When we do that gathering, June 30th to July 7th, we had about, 14 to 1600 last year with the church being a year and a half old. There will be two. I mean, look at the tent meeting outreach that we did for a week in Pittsburgh. There's going to be people that come from all over. We went from one part-time employee to 53 full-time employees, and it keeps going. Now more land acquisition. There's an anointing. There's so much they don't cover in church about what is in the covenant. Say with me, I will make of thee a mighty nation. You know, you run a dance studio. That's great. There'll be a day where that dance studio goes to two. There'll be a day where you have regional directors of the different dance studios, because everything with God multiplies. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear. Can you say amen? So that's what God told Abraham. And then it continues. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And all the families on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, either the Bible can be taken literally or it can't. If it's a bunch of poetry, I quit. But it's not poetry. I'm not going to fly in poetry this afternoon. I'm not going to fly in a metaphor. We're not meeting today in an analogy. This is practical word that works. Say, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. When I went to Liberia to meet up with Bishop Dagg for his crusade, I checked into my hotel and it was about 10 at night in Liberia, and I went to the hotel restaurant to get something to eat before bed. So me and Adonis are sitting there, and a businessman walks over, Liberian businessman. And he goes, "Are you Jonathan Shuttlesworth? Tough to hide in Africa." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, your ministry has been a major blessing to me." I said, "Thank you. Are you here for the crusade?" He said, "What crusade? Are you preaching a crusade?" I said, "No, Bishop Dagg's preaching a crusade." "Oh, Bishop Dagg." I figured if somebody knew me, he was on Bishop Dagg's crusade team and knew me. Three different business people in Liberia came over and thanked me for my ministry. Why? I had forgotten that years ago I signed a TV contract. I'm on Africa from Cairo, Egypt to Cape Town, South Africa, five times a night in prime time, and there aren't that many channels in Africa. Some people get 16 channels. It's almost like a 1990s television in America. You get like 30 channels, 32 channels, so people see you. I will make of thee a great nation, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. We just signed a contract this week. In another month, our church will be broadcast, not on Christian TV. It'll be broadcast on the Cowboy Channel and the Rodeo Network. Yeah, lost people that are conservative, but they're out of church, they're going to hear the gospel. That's more families being blessed. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm not a cowboy, but I will be on the Cowboy Channel. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. 13:1-2. So Abram left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev, along with his wife and Lot and all that they owned. 2. And Abram was what? Yeah, not rich. Very rich. But how many of you know riches mean more than just money? God knew there would be people that talk like that. So then he put in a second part to the verse to cut the legs out from under him. Abram was very rich in peace and joy and love. No. Abram was very rich in what? Livestock, silver, and gold. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because there's people watching on different channels. But you already know. Isn't it interesting that the 90% of world missions giving comes from America? The bulk of that likely comes from Texas. And where's the most livestock? Yeah, cows just appear in this place. You know, my cousin Teddy, he lives in outside of Fort Lauderdale. I can't remember the exact town because he's never invited me over once. But he lives in Fort, I'm not bitter. I'm in therapy. He has a church in Fort Lauderdale. You can't have cows in Fort Lauderdale. You know, they'll cite you. You can't own a home on the beach in Fort Lauderdale and start raising cows in the yard of your home. He's in a home ownership association. So, but the covenant works no matter what. So he gets an invitation to preach in Montana, and a rancher tells him, "The Lord spoke to me. I'm not doing this to put something in your, I'm not looking for livestock. I have one dog and I don't like that dog. And that dog doesn't like me. That dog will be home for 6 hours by itself, and I get home and sometimes it'll lift its head and lay back down. Until Camila and Adonis come home, it does. You think I abused it. I've done nothing." And again, I'll save it for therapy. Everything's okay. Everything's going to be all right. I'm not looking to plant this in somebody's ear to give me a cow. I promise. I'm telling you a story. So Teddy goes to Montana, and a rancher said, "I felt led to tithe one of my cows to your ministry." And so Teddy gets ready to tell him, "I appreciate that, but I live in Florida. I can't do that as..." Maybe you could take it home. All you'd have to do is take the cow to the American Airlines gate and say, "This is my therapy cow. I have panic attacks and..." You know, you go fly on a plane and the guy tells you, "Put your bag all the way under your front seat." Meanwhile, the guy next to you has a therapy llama sitting next to him. I don't get that. So they said, he's getting ready to tell him, "I have no place to put that cow." And the guy said, "I figured you don't have any place to put the cow. So I've also sectioned off a little part of my ranch to deed to you." And he said, "Well, the people that we pay are going to raise the cow for you." Well, the cow, he gave another cow the next year. The cow had babies. So my cousin actually had to incorporate Miracle Word Ranch. Those cows are branded with his Miracle Word Ministry logo. He never set out to be a rancher. Just like Adonis was telling you, we actually took steps to not be homeowners. I'm sure if I pass the mic to Pastor Bob, he's not greedy for filthy lucre, but as he did what God told him to do, it's not you going out trying to get money. When you do what God told you to do, you don't chase blessings. Blessings chase after you. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you something that happened last night to show you what I'm talking about the financial anointing. I went out. There's people I know here, you know. Actually, I'm certain to know more people here than in Pittsburgh because, and anyway, it's not important. Because in Pittsburgh, I always would just stay home, even though I've lived there a long time. I didn't preach there much. And I had preached in Texas a lot. So when we started the church, I know people. I know people in the crowd here. So I went out to dinner with people. There's a barbecue place, and they're not sponsoring the sermon, but they're going to get an ad anyway. It's called Hutchinson Barbecue. Hutchinson. And you can get a reverse sear ribeye steak, which I'm sure their barbecue is great, but that steak will change your life. Like if I saw somebody ready to commit suicide, I'd say, just hold on a second. Let me get you this steak, not even prayer or anything. Just eat this real quick, and then we'll talk. And then they think, you know what? All right, I'm climbing down. Amen. So I went there for that. I was with some people. And then another businessman that was a friend of one of the people came, and he had questions. If you could have seen how I was dressed, I came straight from the baseball game. I literally, you can ask my nephew, I told him when I got in the vehicle that morning to go to the baseball game. I'll have him tell you. When I said, do you know why I'm dressed like this? What did I tell you?
Oh, you want to look like you do nothing spiritual today.
I want to look like I do nothing spiritual. If someone has a problem, I want them to look at me and go, he definitely doesn't have the answer. Let me ask somebody else. I had on a hooded sweatshirt. I had on a snapback cap. I looked like I just got kicked out of a teen challenge is how I was dressed. So I go, I'm there, and this businessman starts asking me questions. Then he's asking about the tithe and stuff like that. I paid for the meal. I was looking to eat a steak. My goal that day was to eat a steak and go to a baseball game. And when we got done, he was moved by some of the things that I said. And then I prayed with him and his wife. And when I finished praying with him and his wife, he went out to his vehicle and got $50,000 and shipped it to the ministry, to Revival Today. So people, what were the offerings in Washington? I don't know. I haven't counted them yet. But on an off day, eating steak at Hutchinson's Barbecue, I did better than I did my first year in the ministry. Because once you get in the flow of God, you don't have to work money or do pancake breakfasts or golf tournaments or pitch your vision. Let me ask you a question. Who was Elijah pitching his vision? How did Elijah pitch his vision to the ravens? Did they want to look at his charts of his ministry? Did he have to tell what his plans were? And then when Elijah told the ravens his plans, they dropped off the bread and meat? No. There is a flow you can get into. And this is what I want, because actually, what I'm going to put in your spirit today, here and in Pittsburgh and on the Cowboy Channel and wherever in Africa, this is what has been blowing up and will blow up every globalist scheme to put Americans under financial bondage. Because there's a way to bypass the whole system by returning to God in the tithe and the offering. And if you do, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great you won't have room enough to receive it. I said it on week one. I say it in week three. Revival Today Church will have the most blessed people in the United States of America. The greatest black business owners, the greatest white business owners, greatest Hispanic business owners, greatest Asian business owners. This will be a place where people are nations contained in a person, and there's nothing the devil can do about it. If you receive that in Pittsburgh, if you receive that here in Fort Worth, let's take 15 seconds and celebrate ahead of time. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Everybody say, very rich. In livestock, silver, and gold. 17:1. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. And I will make a covenant with you, to which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of many nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you'll be called Abraham. for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Say that with me. Extreme fruitfulness. Yeah, not you try. You just are. I brought up that restaurant story because I'm not trying. My nephew James, I had no intention. Actually, even when the guy said, I want to give to your ministry, I said, do it another time. Let's just enjoy the meal. And then he went out and gave it to a friend of mine to give to the ministry. I walked away from everything you could walk away from. You can't help it. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of my life. Okay, that man that I hugged, to my knowledge, today is the first day I've ever made any kind of physical contact with you. There were no letters. I know you have a church. I didn't know you had a church. I didn't know. I don't know. I got here yesterday. Sometimes I get here at 9. I land at 9 and get here for the last song and preach and go to the next place. I'm not working anybody. Nobody on the face of this earth could say without God striking them dead that I've ever texted or called hey, we're starting a second church. I don't know. You know, if you could stand with us. I don't drop holy hints. Hey, we need 80,000 by the end of the week to break even. If you could just pray with us. Knowing you're not a prayer, you're a businessman, and you know full well what that text message is about. I revile that with every fiber of my being. I don't like manipulation. You know what I like that Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira before he dropped them dead? The money was yours to give or not to give. I had a guy make a large donation to the ministry. This was about 8 years ago. Then he called up and was regretting it. I sent it back immediately. He said, you know, I gave you my word and I'm a man of my word. So if you want to keep it, I said, no, the money is yours to give or not. That's between you and the Lord. It's not me to enforce it. My job is to do what God told me to do. I'm not trying to make anything happen. If I'll be faithful to what God said, then God's faithful to keep his covenant with us. Can you say amen? I don't see Abraham having any fundraising dinners. There was nobody to have it with. He was the only believer in the whole land that he lived. Can you say amen? Abraham fell face down. This is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, for you'll be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Extremely fruitful. Nobody has ever said from an economic standpoint. Now, if somebody's a racist, that's different. But from an economic standpoint, nobody has ever said, oh, shoot, the Jews are moving in. This place is going to get torn to shreds. No. Jewish people, when they move into a place, beautify places. They don't destroy them. They have a covenant of fruitfulness. So even in, like many of us that are here probably, grew up in Pentecostal holiness. They knew that. Why are the Jewish people blessed? Oh, because they're Abraham's seed. So that's in Abraham's seed. Let me read you one more verse that applies to that. This is an everlasting covenant. 7, I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants. Genesis 17:7. From generation to generation. This is an everlasting covenant. Everybody say everlasting covenant. Abraham was a tither as part of the covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. He didn't tithe to Levi. It wasn't under the law. He tithed before the law to Melchizedek, whose priesthood is forever. This is an everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever. I'd like, if anybody's watching me by VPN in Iran or Gaza, whoever's planning against Israel, you're wasting your time. You fired missiles for 4 hours. Nobody got hit and nothing got hit. It will be their possession forever. This is an everlasting covenant. Nine, then God said to Abraham, your responsibility, everybody say my responsibility, is to obey the terms of the covenant. Just do your part, and then you don't have to make anything happen. So that's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to break down what your terms are in four actions to take. Go to Galatians chapter 3 before I do that. Yeah, but that, Brother Jonathan, that was for the Jewish people. It is for the Jewish people. But there weren't Jewish people when God told Abraham that. And he didn't say, I'll make you the father of one nation. He said, I'll make you the father of what? And specifically, all the nations of all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. The Shuttlesworth family is not a Jewish family. It's an English, Irish, West Virginia mix. If we were puppies, we'd be in the Humane Society. What kind of dog is this? Not sure. Purebred? No. We're not Jewish, but watch what it says here. Galatians 3:13. But Christ has redeemed us from all the curse of the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, 14, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles, that's non-Jewish people, with the same blessing. He didn't strip Jewish people of their blessing and give it to the church. He grafted them in with the same blessing that he promised Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promise through faith. Go down to 26, Galatians 3:26. For this is written to Gentile believers. For you, by a Jew, Paul, by the Holy Ghost. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on a new garment. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. 29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his true seed. You are his heirs. Say, I am his heir. And every, last line, and everything God promised Abraham belongs to you. So when people say that financial fortune is part of the old covenant, but it's not part of the new covenant, then that chapter should be ripped out of the Bible, among other chapters. Because Paul said, actually, everything God gave Abraham, land inheritance. How many of you ever heard me preach on land inheritance before? I mean, it's the theme of the year, Psalm 37. When I started preaching that, we own no land. I didn't personally own any land. The ministry owned no land. We had no churches. You don't speak based on where you're at. You speak what God says, and his word becomes a vehicle that'll take you from where you are now to where the Bible says he'll take you. I see that happening practically in your life from today in Jesus' name. And now land just, it won't stop. Won't stop. Won't stop for the ministry. Won't stop for us. And it won't stop more. And I'll tell you why. Because I found a pathway. It's actions. I hate, and if you've written it, I have nobody in mind. I hate when something good happens, like the land or the church or something, and then people write on Instagram, you deserve that. Nobody works harder than you. First of all, people do work harder than me. They're called oil field technicians. They're called Navy SEALs. If I had to do the test to become a Navy SEAL, I would just sit in a corner and cry. I mean, don't hurt my self-esteem. You laughed a little too hard at that one. Do 50 push-ups. I could give you 3. Get out of here. I couldn't do it. The things that are happening are not a reward for hard work. They're a reward for obedience. Because really, and I'm not saying this to be humble. I've never said anything to try to sound humble. I no way feel like I'm working hard. I never once ask Abraham or Jay, oh, I got to preach to the church in Fort Worth. There's people I look forward to seeing here. I love what I do. I'm looking forward to going back to Washington. If I didn't, I wouldn't go. I don't get paid based, I'm not an hourly rate. The more I preach, you'd think the way I preach, I got paid by the hour, but I don't. I'm doing what God at 8 years old, Jonathan, I have reserved you for this last period of time to be an evangelist, to call men and women who are now in darkness into the light, for soon it will be eternally too late. We had 112 people come to the altar to receive Jesus Christ on Friday night service in Washington State. We had almost 1,000 between Fort Worth and Pittsburgh on Easter weekend. I'm faithful to the heavenly vision. I'm doing it, and I love doing it, but I'm doing it The Bible says redeeming the time, for the days are evil. I don't exactly watch the exact nations the Bible said would attack Israel to end the world, lining up to attack Israel, and think, you know, how many know rest is important? No, you can see that the coming of the Lord is soon approaching. So there should be a tireless, joyful effort to bring men out of sin and into the kingdom of God, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that have been bruised. Can you say amen? Why did God make allowance in his word? Not make allowance. Why did God ascribe financial fortune to believers? Again, I'm going to get on a plane that was given to me and go to Washington. I don't feel bad. If somebody at that private airport in Washington, when I land, go, what do you do? I'm a preacher. Oh, and with a plane. Yes, with a plane. If the guys that flew it to Epstein Island don't feel bad, I don't feel bad. I'm not using it to molest children. I'm using it to preach the gospel. Isn't it interesting? The only criticism against prosperity is Christian prosperity. I ain't got to build a church like that. Who needs a church? Of course, they don't say that in Texas. You guys don't care. You're on your own page. Why does anybody need a church that big? You never hear anybody say, why do they have to have a super Walmart? They already have a Walmart. Why do they need a super Target? They already have a Target. Did you hear one person say when they built Fontainebleau, what does Las Vegas need another casino for? There's already like 40. They're going to waste all that money and do all that. No, you'd think they were curing cancer in there. Coming up at 11, new casino opening tonight. We have a sneak peek. Meanwhile, people aren't, I don't know if you've ever been inside a casino. I'm not recommending you go. It doesn't look like the scene from Casino Royale and James Bond. People are not in tuxedos. They're in tuxedo t-shirts. They're not wearing evening gowns. They're wearing death cab for cutie faded tank tops from 2003. They're not gambling with some excess money. People are gambling away their child support payments, their kids' dentist money. People are leaving there crying and robbing and stealing and getting killed in there on a weekly basis. And you never hear any criticism of it. But if any believer rises up anything past upper middle class and starts to acquire land, let me just tell you, like I said 3 weeks ago, because I'm speaking to that demon. If you don't like there being one jet, you're going to hate when there's a fleet. Why? Why can I fly? Let me ask you a question. Why am I able to fly on 5 different Islamic airlines? Emirates, Etihad, Turkish Air, on down the line. And it's no big deal that own 400 passenger jets. And then if one's used to preach the gospel, what do you need that for? I'll tell you what I need it for. I like you guys, but some people I get fed up with. I had a pastor tell me, I don't think a preacher needs a jet. I said, if I had your ministry, I would agree. I don't need a jet if I'm going to preach Sunday morning, go to TGI Fridays a couple times this week, golf, and watch TV, and then come back and preach Sunday and hope more people attended. But if you're going to preach here simultaneously in Pittsburgh, then go to Washington State and blow that thing up by the power of the Holy Ghost, then come back and do the miracle service on Pittsburgh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of the means to get the gospel to the world. I'm here to preach these 3 weeks to drive the insecurity and the rejection of wealth out of the body of Christ. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. And if you want to know the truth about it, that is the answer to my question that I asked. That's why there's a troubling. Why do you need all that? Why do you people have to have that? Because deep down, wicked people can tell their things being shaken. But we're of a kingdom that can never be shaken. Hallelujah. In wartime, isn't it interesting that all that overflow, hallelujah. I think I just woke up. All that overflow and open windows of heaven took place during the Iran-Israel conflict When the stock market was going down 2% a day, God doesn't give a rip about the Dow Jones. He doesn't give a rip about the Federal Reserve. He doesn't care what Janet Yellen decides. He is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. And if you tap into him, brother, you bypass the whole system. Your real estate explodes. Your business multiplies. He didn't say man will make you fruitful. He said I will make you extremely fruitful. A few reasons why God gives believers financial fortune. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not saying this to be arrogant or cocky. All these ministries that have sprung up recently to badmouth the faith message and prosperity. I hope you get a for lease sign ready for your building, because I'll have that one too. Whatever you speak against, you repel. We don't believe in prosperity in this church, and you'll never have it. Just like if you say we don't believe in healing, you're going to enjoy a life of sickness. But I made up my mind. I'm not picking 3 of the 10 things out of the Bible. Everything that's part of my inheritance, I want it all, baby. I like the health part. I like the protection part. I like the family part. I like my child serving the Lord. I like the money part. I like the building part. I like the lender part and not the borrow part. Hallelujah. Why? Why is there financial fortune? Number one, because poverty and just enough is a curse. Deuteronomy 28, 38 to 40. Number two, to validate the blessing of Abraham. We've already read those scriptures. Number three, because of the finished work of Christ. The blood of Jesus was shed, among other things, to bring financial fortune to people that serve him. And I'm saying it like that on purpose. So I'll give you a second to clip that and put it on a website. He said Jesus shed his blood, among other things, to make people wealthy. Yeah, I actually didn't say it. I read it. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was very rich, yet for your sakes, whose sake? Jesus didn't come and do all he did so they could make statues of him and necklaces. He did a redemptive work, and that blood, according to the Bible. Now, if you don't like the Bible, I can't help you. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Well, that's talking about spiritual poverty. No, two things. Number one, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are money chapters in context. 8:1 through the end of 9 are offering scriptures to the Corinthian church about money. Number two, at no point did Jesus become spiritually destitute. He became materially poor, not in his ministry, but when he was born in a cow's trough. He left the riches of heaven to become poor, not for fun, everybody say for my sake. That's right. Because Christ became poor for my sake, it is scripturally illegal for my ministry or my person to ever lack anything. And so it is for you in Jesus' name. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Why? That through his poverty, you might be rich. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes a man able to pay his bills. No. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. The word's rich. So, well, that, you know, that's a strong word. So in our church, we say the blessing. Okay, then say, okay, rewrite the Bible then. Maybe when you get to heaven, you can sit the Holy Ghost down and tell him what he should have said. See, that's the American pride that has crippled the church. Because the same spirit that wants to rewrite the sexuality part of the Bible wants to, now, God, you know, I know you said that, but like in this generation, Gen Z, as if God, oh, really? Please lecture me about mankind that I created. Hey, Thomas Edison, let me tell you about light bulbs. He made man. This is what the word says. So people cannot like the sexuality part. People can disagree with it. You can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. So I'm telling you what the Bible says. Revelation 5:12. What's Revelation 5:12? Do we have the ability to put it on the screen? Anybody have a King James or New King James? Who has it? Read it nice and loud, Brother Danny.
Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the
Pause. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. For what reason? To receive. Receive for who? He didn't have to go die to receive riches. What do you think Jesus was living in government housing in the bad part of heaven? He was slain to receive. He didn't receive power for him. He already is the, he's co-equal with God. He's God. He's the Most High. He can't get any higher. He never could get any higher. Worthy to receive for us power. That's the Holy Ghost part. What else? Riches. Everybody say riches. Shout wisdom. What else? Strength and honor and glory and blessing for us. Part of the redemptive work of Christ was to bring blessing, riches, wisdom, dignity, strength, honor to us, to those that believe. Can you say amen? Number four, to undo the plan of wicked men against you. Land ownership. Lender, not the borrower. You know, when you got in the covenant and God gives you land, it doesn't matter when Wells Fargo Bank or Chase Manhattan says, makes a decision in a private room, we're done giving mortgages to churches. We're not going to help them anymore. Don't need your help. Never did. Abraham never sat in a bank at Wells Fargo and asked if he could have some money. And guess what? To this day, go to Wells Fargo and count how many Hasidic Jews you see in the loan office asking if they can get some help. Because they believe what the word says. And somehow they wouldn't. This part never made the jump to Gentiles. I don't like, you know, they don't need that. You know, I don't know what it is with Gentiles. I'm one of them, but they don't like me, so I'm different. There's a lady that was helping me at a grocery store. I was buying a canned tuna to try to eat healthy, things I thought I'd never eat in my life. So I'm buying it. I paid for it myself. Usually a Dallas does the grocery shopping, but I was near a store and I wanted to get it to put on a salad. Very uninteresting story. So she helps me and the machine wouldn't take my money and she helped me more. And she's an older lady. I won't say the age because now anybody that age will be offended that I called them older. But you know, she's on her feet. I asked her, this, it was her sixth hour of an 8-hour shift. That's tough. So I gave her, not a lot. I gave her 20 extra, no, yeah, 40. Here's extra. Oh, we can't take, workers aren't allowed to receive tips. I said, I have to tip everybody else. Why can't I tip you? They said that we can't receive it. I said, well, I never agreed to that. So here. She said, well, I can't take it. I said, then give it to Lost and Found. So I walk out to my car and I hear a voice behind me calling my name. And I look, it's her. She followed me out into the parking lot with her $40. I can't take this. I can't. Is she going to be fired? There's people, try at Dunkin' Donuts. If you give a $1 or $2 tip, they'll take it. Try giving a $20 tip. So this lady said, I'll take it. She would take it, but most people, maybe Texans will take it. Most people, no, I can't take that. You can't, why can't you? I'm a grown man. I'm not like I have like mental problems and I'm 8 and I took it from my mom. I'm a grown man who made a decision to give you a tip to help you out. I gave, there's a lady, she gives me my coffee at the place I go. So I slid $100 extra with my pay for the coffee. So she gave me the 100 back with my change as if I just, it's like, what do you, I said, no, that's for you. And obviously they split the tips. Oh, I can't take that. It's too much. I said, $100 is too much. What's your phone bill? Oh, yeah, no, that's true. Then she took it. There's this. No, you keep it. Now, I'm not talking about being some slimy, like, hey, I'm not talking looking for it. But it's pride to reject the blessing. Can you say amen? Gentiles have this like rejection of money thing, especially in the church, but it's being broken today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Number five, to give the gospel a strong voice. Ecclesiastes 9:16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. Money gives amplification to the gospel. That's the only hope to save the nation. What do you people need all that money for? Do you really think it's the will of God for there to be 10 pay-per-view sex channels and 2 Christian channels? Because somebody had more faith in a wicked sense to get pornography out and didn't care about the, they're not ashamed. I hate to say what I'm actually using this. No, proud. Then us, that have been charged by Christ to get. I mean, did you see those women on the testimony in Washington crying? I was depressed. I was done with life. I had made up my mind. I'm just so tired. Death sounds so good because at least I could rest. That's a spirit of suicide. And one night in the presence of God, they're crying tears of joy. And there's a million. While I'm swinging uppercuts, let me just keep going. You know, I heard this. I didn't hear this a lot, but I did hear it a few times when the Lord spoke to me to start the church in Fort Worth. Oh, starting the church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the buckle of the Bible Belt. Why do you think Dallas needs another church? Because it's a huge, okay, if we go on the street right now, everybody's safe. Streets are empty. There's no fentanyl problem. How dense are you? We're not starting a church so people can have another option, which there are plenty of. And there's plenty of good churches here. But there's also plenty that are basically a 75-minute thing for you to ease your conscience before you go and have mimosas with your mistress or whoever. There's no power. There's no healing. There's no Bible apologizing for the word. There's many good churches. But everyone, until the streets are empty on Sunday and Dallas can't have games on Sunday because people are in the house of God, the work of God must continue. Number six, a reward for holy living. Psalm 1:1-3. Number seven, why does God give financial fortune? The natural destination of godly wisdom leads to financial fortune. Proverbs 8:18. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. That's a Bible verse. Proverbs 8:18. If you hang with me, God said, if you make decisions the way I tell you to make them. See, there's decisions the word has you make that facilitate prosperity. Do you know outside of church, they'll tell you, if you'll delay having children till after marriage and finish high school and work a job that pays money, you won't be poor. Well, God could have told you to read that in the Bible. That's not a church talking, that's sociologists talking. Having children outside of wedlock, sociologically, not spiritually, it does spiritually, but I'm saying take the Bible out of the equation. All of the things the Bible tells you to do lead to prosperity. Marriage facilitates wealth. Yeah, I thought even more quiet than I thought it would be. Would you go into business with somebody with no agreement, no written contract, no agreement, either party's free to bail on the arrangement at any time? Nobody in their right mind would do that. Well, how much more for marriage should there be a covenant? I'm not living with you and we don't know, we've never settled whose is what. No, you make a covenant. I made a covenant with Adonis at the altar. I was 25, she was 21. I'm with you, we're together, we're united with Christ. It's amazing how rich you can grow when you're not splitting your money up every 7 years. No, it's a covenant pathway to financial fortune. Can you say amen? Amen. All of it leads, I'm one affair away from bankrupting this ministry. Sexual purity is a covenant pathway to financial fortune. There's nobody's going to come out of the woodwork. Jonathan had an affair with me. I'm not, they couldn't even accuse me of it. Oh, you did? Abraham, tell me where we were. When was the time and date? They're going to have a problem because I'm not anywhere with anybody by myself ever. And I do that to guard what the Lord's entrusted to me. You don't trust people? Not anybody. I'm also not paranoid. I'm not distrustful, but I take steps to protect what God gives. Can you say amen? Amen. That's what Billy Graham did. And it's the richest ministry in America. With me are riches and honor. This is Proverbs 8:18. Let's make it our memory verse for Sunday. God said, with me are riches and honor, enduring wealth. Everybody say enduring wealth. Now, if you're watching, I hope, I'm not rooting against you. I pray God helps everybody. If we were having this conversation in 1996, Puff Daddy's rich. Puff Daddy's about to be very poor. There's wealth, and then there's enduring wealth. The devil will bless you for a time, and you give it all back if you live to spend it. But God didn't have Abraham go on a nice 8-year run. There was Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph, then King David, then King Solomon, then me, then you. Enduring wealth and lasting riches are the portion of the man that walks in covenant with God. Can I tell you something on this Sunday? Every hurdle you've had to overcome in life, every hurdle and battle you had to fight, you and your decisions you're making today, like to be in God's house, like to sit under the word, it's going to ensure that your children never have to fight those battles. My grandfather had it very hard in the ministry. My dad had it less hard. I had it much less hard. Camila's already having stuff open up for her that I never got till I was in my 30s, because it only takes one person in a family to say enough is enough. I'm leaving my father's family. I'm leaving my old country. I'm leaving my old ways of doing things, and I'm going to walk according to the word. And when you do, the blessing is enduring. It's to you and your children and your children's children. Yay, to 1,000 generations. If you receive that, go ahead in Pittsburgh, in Dallas, Fort Worth, give the Lord a mighty hand clap and shout. Number 8, why is there financial fortune? Because it's the end result of the law of seed time and harvest. 2 weeks ago, there was none of these testimonies were even on the map. And I actually was saving up for a house to get a Dallas house. I was thinking, I'm heading up on 50 years old. Camila will be out of the house in 6 or 7 years. I'm going to get one. So I started saving up some money. And then I thought, honest to God, like at the end of that Sunday when I was preaching on prosperity the first week, I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm not saving up for a house. And I said, that's when I said right there, Patrick, I said, forget it. I'm not saving up for a house. But really, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I'm going to go, God, I'm not going to try to make it happen. There's nothing wrong with trying to make anything happen. It beats not trying to make anything happen. But I wasn't given that. No, I won't have a house. No, Lord, the things I'm saving up for me, just you take it. And if you feel I'm underhoused, then, and I told Adolis that on the way home that week. I didn't tell the crowd, I'm giving this believing for a house, knowing there's home builders in the crowd. I don't do that. I said, Patrick, put $20,000 of my money, not ministry money, my money, which for me was decent. I'm done. And I told Adolis on the way home, I said, if God thinks we're underhoused, then he can take care of it. And I told her, what difference does it make anyway? I've been home about 30 hours a week. It wouldn't matter. The last 2 weeks, what difference would it make what house I have? So I said, here you go. I'm done. And you heard Adolis say the same thing. And isn't it interesting that week, the thing I made a decision to walk away from, God makes happen for you when you put him first. It's the natural result of seed time and harvest. How many know we don't give to receive? Oh, yeah? Then lecture Jesus. Luke 6:38. Give, and when you do, it shall be given to you. How much? Pressed down, shaken together, good measure, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. As long as the earth remains, anything you sow will produce a multiplied harvest. Number 9, why does God give financial fortune? Because the rich rule over the poor. Proverbs 22:7, that's in the Bible. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Our laws are now being written by people who hate God, hate the Bible, hate the family, and will stop at nothing to shut down the church. But you and I will be the generation that changes that. Number 10, why does God give financial fortune? Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts, not meet the needs, give good gifts to your children. How much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? So actually, when you have people bash prosperity, I don't believe in that. This church does not teach the prosperity. Then what they're doing is it's a demonic thing to never have an expectation out for God to shower you with good gifts. You know, I don't need all that money. Yeah, that's the point. Do you know why I have a Falcon 50 to fly in? Because a rich Christian got another plane and set. Instead of me having an extra plane, I want to help a preacher get the word of God out. When you rise up in wealth, you can start to change things in America instead of whining about it on Facebook. I'm going to tell you, there are hundreds of people that are going to leave this church in Fort Worth and leave this church in Pittsburgh today. God's going to give you wisdom. God's going to give you a plan, and you're going to practically cut the legs out from demonic systems in the United States of America. As a good father, God has no interest in merely meeting your basic needs. It gives him great joy to lavish material gifts on you. He loves you. And 11, 2 Corinthians 9:8, reason number 11, God gives financial fortune. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God doesn't want casinos built in a year. Everybody say abound to every good work. I didn't have to tell the pastor, I'll try to get back to Washington. No, I can do it. I can abound to the good work. I can abound down here. Abound has an A in front of the word, bound. Bound. Bound forth. Move. Jonathan, build me a church in Fort Worth. It'll be done this week, Lord. We'll fly down and do it. No money raising, no GoFundMe account, no thermometer being colored in at a church for 11 years. No spaghetti dinners, no fish fries, no rummage sales, no car washes. That the man of God may be fully equipped and abound to every good work. These people preach prosperity. Paul was in prison. You can't be in prison here for the gospel. I'm not preaching in the Roman Empire. And isn't it interesting? All these people that supposedly love suffering so much. We don't preach prosperity at this church. We believe in suffering for the gospel. Well, you had your chance in 2020, and when they passed the lockdowns, you knelt down and kissed the ring of Dr. Fauci, and he called your bluff. You had your chance to go to jail, but all of a sudden you didn't believe in suffering. You hid and closed your church down and turned it into a vaccination center. So shut your mouth, because you're a liar. You don't believe in suffering. You're a discourager, and you lose unbelief. But I'm telling you, I am willing to suffer. I kept it open. I'm ready to do whatever it takes to get the gospel out. But the Bible says, if you put me first, if you put me first, all the other things will be added unto you. God doesn't want casinos built in a year. While churches wade through 15-year building programs, he wants the church to abound unto every good work. Time is short. When my new friend over here made the decision to allow us to steward that church, and that building in Pittsburgh that's $5.3 million. Do you know what all those things speak to me? Like Jesus is going, hey, son, you don't have time to do things the way they did it 40 years ago. I can't have you in a 15-year building program and golf tournament fundraisers and all that. I am coming. So, yea, my return is near, even at the door. So here's a building. Here's a plane. Let me tell you something. You know what I do with that plane? I fly it. I told the Lord, I said, if you gave me that plane to not fly it, you're going to be very disappointed, because I'm taking it as a sign. I like how you're moving. To he who uses well what he's been given, he'll be given even more and have an abundance. I like how you're moving with a car, so here's a plane. And then you take the plane and fly it as much as you can fly it. That thing's been in for maintenance 3 times already. I haven't even had it a year. Fly and fly and fly. Las Vegas, first ministry allowed to preach in a casino since the 1970s, that they opened the door, and we had more people in the meeting in the casino than were downstairs gambling. More people were upstairs than downstairs. That's right, because Jesus is coming soon, and it's not time to play tiddlywinks. It's time to get the devil's money. It's time to take the wealth of the wicked. It's time to build beautiful churches. It's time to win the lost. It's time to cast out devils. And I'm not ashamed. How do you stand in a church that was built by men that were faith men that preach prosperity and preach against the prosperity message? That takes some huevos, my friend. Huevos in your cabeza. No inteligente. estúpido, idiota, feo. The nerve, the freaking nerve to stand in a building that you were given by people that got the building by the faith message and then knocked the faith message. Let me know how that works out for you. If you don't want to go to a church that believes in the blessing of God, you will be miserable in this church.
That's right.
This church believes. Because let me tell you something, the wealth's not going to lay out in the street. So if you're okay with pornographers having jets and strip club owners and casino owners, and you're okay with a politician sitting down at a table in Long Island with eight people and raising 300 million people to put agendas into schools that'll literally kill those children, put them in gender transition at seven. That's all being financed by wicked money that belongs in the church, but because the church either won't talk about, you know, we don't need all that. No, I don't need it all. I'm going to get it all, and I'm going to make the devil sorry he didn't kill me when he had the chance. I'm going to make him sorry he didn't make that speech impediment permanent. The end time church is a glorious church that'll do great things for God. Hallelujah. And I'll also say this, I've never heard anybody preach against prosperity that's not slightly feminine. I close with this. So I don't think the prosperity is the real problem. Covenant pathways to financial fortune. Now that you know these things belong to you in the Word, how do you get it? You can have $3 million in your bank account. If you don't know how to work an ATM machine, you starve to death. What are the covenant pathways to access what God says ours? Because here's where the frustration comes in. No, I believe that's in the Bible, but I've been serving the Lord for 40 years. What does that mean, you've been serving the Lord for 40 years? That you go to church sporadically? I invited two, not last night, not nobody in particular. I invited two different business people in Texas that are Christian men. No, my wife has an event today. Let me tell you, as much as this place has a reputation for being the buckle of the Bible Belt, it has some of the most casual commitment to church. And I'm going to do God a favor and attend your church. Not you. Nobody here. Just pretend people that I'm talking about. This is just an analogy. You know, we're thinking of coming to your church. Oh, that's great. Maybe I'll get like a plaque for you. Thank you for attending my church. We're not building a church of attenders. We're building a church of laborers in God's mission field. Let me tell you something. My family doesn't have events on Sunday. I wasn't allowed to go over other kids' homes on Saturday or Sunday after church was over. Sunday is the Lord's day. And if people don't tell you this, then Jonathan deserves that. He works hard for the Lord. No, it didn't come from hard work. It came from understanding that, yes, financial fortune is part of the covenant, but God said in Genesis 17, your responsibility, I have something I always do, is to keep the terms of the covenant. This is your continual responsibility and all the generations after you. I want one day, we live in South Lake. You know, I have a house in South Lake that I live in. So I could say all that crap too. You know, we're in South Lake, my daughter, and she has a function. And, you know, I hate that it's on Sunday, but it is. And Adala's volunteered. I'm not in church because I'm the pastor. I've been a pastor for 2 years. And how much did I miss church before when I was an evangelist coming off the road? If we came in at 4 a.m. from a Friday night meeting driving, were we in church or not? And send my wife and daughter. I'm a Jesus boy. I'm in God's house. Did you know when I kept my ministry open during COVID? It didn't bother me any if churches shut down. I wasn't a pastor. I sued the attorney general of our state on principle that you will not tell me when and where I can worship and for how long. I am a God man. I love God with all my heart. I love him with all my soul. And I got the dry cleaning bills to prove that I love him with all my strength. I love God. And actually, if you want to sum all the covenant pathways to prosperity up into one line, Loving God with all your heart is the covenant pathway to prosperity. And it can't be a fake love. Love has proofs. Any pastor that's done marriage counseling knows if the love doesn't have proofs, that's where there's problems. My husband doesn't love me. I love you. You've never taken me anywhere. I did too. We went to Hawaii. That was in 1986. That's true. I took you out to eat. We went to Del Frisco's. We did. That was our anniversary in 2006. See, they don't realize how much time's passed. They have a casual, their love has no expression. True love has expression. When I come home off this trip and Adalis greets me at the airport, I'm not going to shake her hand. There'll be expression of my love. I buy things for her. I'll come home with things from Seattle for her. And Camila too. Love has expression. Now, I love God. You know, no, we're Christians. What does it mean you're a Christian? What proof is there? I'll tell you what proof there is. When you're on Saturday, which by the way, that'll never happen again. There was not supposed to be a Saturday night service for that outreach. Everybody worked hard. But on Saturday, when you work all week in Texas and are up at that event at 7 and 8 in the morning, and some of you are here at 6:30, 7 in the morning, serving in God's house, teaching children the word of God, getting fired out. I'm glad you're here sitting, getting fired up from the word, but then going out with an actual plan to win battles for the kingdom of heaven. That's where you see a nation transformed. And I'm telling you, that's why I showed you what happened in Washington. God is not finished with America. God is not finished with Texas. This nation shall be shaken one more time by the might and power of God. If you know you're going to be a part of that, let heaven hear your hand clap. Let hell know it has a problem. Somebody shout hallelujah. You can be seated. Covenant pathways to financial fortune. Number one, working. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to tell you how to actually get the riches. So if you like waving spangly flags and dressing up in costumes, you can, but I'm going to tell you things that like actually work. 2 Thessalonians, out of the Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Or 3, sorry, 2 Thessalonians 3. An exhortation to proper living. And now, dear brothers and sisters, this is a command to New Testament Christians. We give you this command, not suggestion, command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who murder people. No. Who live in sexual immorality. No. Who live idle lives. They don't work. And don't follow the traditions they receive from us, which is hard work. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. That is the last preacher that ever did that. Up until me. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. Everybody say worked hard. Day and night. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers, everybody say work to earn your own living. Now say it like you didn't pass away 10 days ago. Say work to earn your own living. There is no prayer that is a substitute for obedience to God's word. You know, I'm believing for a breakthrough. Can you pray for me? Where do you work? Well, right now. Okay, that's the problem. The well right now is the problem. No, but I'm having a problem. I have a brother-in-law on Adonis' side. He's in a wheelchair, not because it hurts to walk or because he eats too much brisket. He's in a wheelchair because his spinal cord's severed. And he comes to work at the church, drives himself, then pops the station wagon hatchback open, scoots himself to the back of the seat, loads himself puts the wheelchair out, loads himself into the wheelchair, and then wheels his way to his office, and then goes and does it again. I watch him at the end of the day, wheel in, hoist himself into the car, pull the wheelchair and fold it up, then scoot to the front. So I start having an issue when people have legs. I have seasonal affective disorder. When it gets cloudy, I get sad. Yeah, America will make sure you have some kind of problem. There's actually studies coming out in the psychological world, not Christian world, psychological world, that all the serotonin stuff is bullcrap. Get to work. The Bible doesn't say if you're feeling okay, get to work. Say, get to work. That's what Paul commanded. We give this command to Christians. Okay, I'm glad you're coming to sit and listen, because if you're coming to take me out, I don't think I could defend myself against you, so I'm glad. I feel like you and I eat different diets. I feel like you had like raw elk for breakfast. Everybody say, get to work. Get to work. Boy, am I glad you're on our side. Get to work. There's no substitute for hard work. The only substitute for hard work is a hard life. I have a book coming out soon that I just wrote. It's called, You Don't Need a Breakthrough, You Need a Job. We had a lady that needed help with her rent at the church in Pittsburgh. We paid it. I'm not as mean as my face looks. And then she called again and needed rent in another 2 months. Where are you working? Well, I have a dream to be a realtor. That's great. I have a dream that one day I'll visit other galaxies. But in the meantime, I'm preaching. So while you have your dream to be a realtor and you're taking the license, you're going to have to go get a job somewhere and humble yourself and get paid. Money's not a miracle. Money's a reward for work. Can you say amen? So think of this with me, because people disconnect it. They think, you know, Brother Jonathan, what do you do in the time between when you sow and you're waiting for your harvest? That's your problem. You don't wait for harvest. You work. And then God anoints the work of your hand. Jesus didn't tell Peter, thanks for letting me use your boat. Now a bunch of fish are going to jump onto the shore. He actually anointed and added his blessing to the thing that he does for work. And the thing that wasn't working, as he connected it with God, now get into your boat. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And this time you will catch some fish. And the catch of fish was so great that the boat was, soon the nets were full and on the verge of tearing, and the boats began to sink. A cry for help to their partners on shore came, and soon their boats were full of fish and their nets began sinking. I'm not home. You heard me give $20,000 2 weeks ago, and I only did it publicly so I can't change my mind later, because I felt to do it. I didn't like sit now. I guess said 2 weeks ago, I sowed $20,000. I'm waiting on that. No, the sower sows the word. This is my work. I'm going to go tonight and work. I'm going to work tomorrow night. I'm going to preach from now. My sister called me yesterday. She said, I kept waiting to call you where we'd have time to talk on a day you're not preaching, but there are no days you're not preaching. So I had to call you now. We talked. Yeah, I'm at work. Texans work. So what happens is there's not a divergence between work and the blessing. When you add your life into God's kingdom and follow, God puts an anointing on your boat and on your nets, where your nets that used to catch no fish now get full of fish, and your boats that used to be empty are full. I see that happening practically for the businesses in Pittsburgh and the businesses in Texas in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, can you say amen? Amen. Number one, work. Number two, kingdom first living. And kingdom first, giving. Turn to 1 Kings 3 as we round up. 1 Kings 3. I think God just has me preach in other states at night, so I have to finish. 1 Kings 3, verse 3. Solomon so loved the Lord. Everybody say love. So love motivated giving is the only kind that works. That's why Cain's wasn't accepted. It was like bitter jealousy. If it has ulterior motives, God doesn't receive every offering. Offerings have to be motivated by love for God and his kingdom. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local place of worship. The most important of these places of worship was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. You were supposed to give 7. I'll see your 7 and raise you 993. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. The way they always taught that to me in Sunday school is like God just randomly decided to make Solomon the richest man who ever lived. Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. And that night the Lord visited him. He said, tell me what you want. I'm like a kid. He was in his 20s when he became king. I don't know what I'm doing. I was my dad's assistant. I can't run this place. I need a wise and understanding heart. Okay. because you didn't ask for the death of your enemies or anything personal, and you had a heart for my kingdom, I will give you what you asked for. Now I'll give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to make you rich. Do you know Solomon was already rich? His dad wasn't poor. His dad was King David. There's always another level in God. I know you think you're rich, but I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you so rich. There won't be a reference point to it. The Queen of Sheba will think people are exaggerating. And when she comes to see you, she'll pass out when she sees your wealth. How? What precipitated it? A heart for God's kingdom. Brothers and sisters, I can say with a pure heart, when I announced that we're given $20,000, or my wife and I have given $100,000 of our own money before. In fact, that's why we didn't have a house. My wife and I privately made a vow. We will never write a check for ourselves bigger than what we've given to the work of the Lord. And you can't really get a house for $100,000, so I would either have to break my vow or not have a house. I was waiting until I could give $1 million. I gave $1 million from the ministry, but I was waiting to be able to do it personally. Then I could do that for a house in time. But then when I made that, if God can get it in your heart, he'll get it in your hand. Very many people, not in this church, not in Pittsburgh, but many people, there's nothing about God's kingdom that's ever moved them. I have friends that have built churches before. Most of the congregation just walks in. Pastor, when's the church going to be? Pastor Bob, you, when's the church going to be ready? You know what, once we're going to be ready for the church? And it's like it just appears. Like they're like 6 years old. When's the roof going to be done? They don't realize how much goes into roofing and roofing contractors. But then there's a higher class of Christian that take God's thing as their own thing. Adonis and I's pathway to where we are now, and we'll go further, which is not by no means at the top, but it's much higher than where we were. My pastor had a project when I was an evangelist only. We need $40,000 for a roof. It pained me so much that I didn't have the $40,000. I was in my early 30s. I gave him, I think we had $32,000 in the bank. I gave him $26,000. I left a little bit for payroll and stuff. And I told him, I said, I'm sorry that I can't write for the whole thing, but this will be the last need you present as a pastor where you ever have to take it to the congregation. Just tell me. I want God's house to be taken care of like my house. Now, again, this sounds rebuking. It's not. There's not many ministers here. But it is interesting in America that you meet people that pastor a church that meets in a hotel, but they have a nice house. I've never met a pastor that lives in a hotel and has a beautiful church. You meet people that have million-dollar homes and their church has ripped up indoor, outdoor carpeting. They're believing for their own building. We're renting right now. We have a storefront, but their house isn't a storefront. So everything's them. And God's thing comes last. I feel that's a shame. I would be ashamed to take people to a big, beautiful home. You shouldn't have Mercedes living and skateboard giving. I'm not against Mercedes living. I'm about to get in a plane. But this is an 8-month-old church. We made sure, we don't own this building, but we made sure to acquire an excellent building for the work of the Lord. Excellent sound, excellent musicians. That's Kenneth Copeland's crusade worship leader. Excellent, not volunteers, the best for God's house. And when you make God's thing first, I'm not saying you have to take the same vow of Dallas and I did, but I was talking to people call it name dropping. I mean, I'm telling you who I talked to. I was talking to Jesse Duplantis this week. And we were talking about how we make a mistake telling people about all God's done and not told us the steps we take. The Bible doesn't just tell you what God gave Abraham. It tells you the bridges Abraham crossed. Take your son, your only son Isaac, and give him to me. Tied him down, took the knife, and when he had committed, God said, hold the knife, because you already purposed in your heart. I've done that with people. The Lord spoke to me to give this to you. I said, and you have. And because you obeyed, the Lord sows it back to you. In fact, there was a child in Washington. I didn't do this because it was a low amount of money. I've taken money from kids if they're sowing it to the work of the Lord. They're giving it to the Lord. I'm not going to stop them. This kid came up and said, mister, I've been enjoying your meetings. The Lord spoke to me to give you this and gave me two 20s. I said, and you have. And since you've obeyed God, not because he's a child, because the Lord said, just like with Isaac, because you committed to give it, the Lord gives it back to you. And somebody had just given me $200 bills before church. And I said, and the Lord gives you 200 more. And he went off. And I wanted to, I did that by the Lord to show him that when you commit to put God's first, it never leaves you at a deficit. It leaves you at a surplus. You will operate. I don't care what happens in the news. I'm not blowing smoke. I don't care what happens in the news the rest of this year. You will never operate at a deficit for the rest of your life. Before any need arises, the provision will always be there. Say that with me. Before any need arises, the provision will be there ahead of time. Did you know there's people who attend this church that the Lord spoke to move to Fort Worth to go to church? They said, where? They said, I'll show you when you get there. And the Lord showed them this property. And they came to the property and asked, when is church? Oh, this isn't a church. It's a Bible school. You know who Todd White, evangelist Todd White is? He runs his ministry, but there's no Sunday morning service. Lord, well, you had us move here. You told us to go to church. They don't have Sunday church. And 2 weeks later, we announced the start of the church. Before we started a church, God had already mobilized families here. That's the God that we serve. He doesn't wait till you're in a deficit. You can live off the top of the barrel. He'll fill your storehouses with grain. If you receive that, go ahead and do what you're already doing. Put your anointed hands together in Pittsburgh. Put your anointed hands together. Working, kingdom first giving. Number three, confession. Say with me, death and life are in the power of the tongue. One more time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You heard me say, I called my dad yesterday, and I was talking to someone else because it blows me away. I told you that I felt a disturbance in the spirit of the devil trying to choke God's money out from his people. So you remember the Sunday I got up and said, there's a rumor that this church has a lot of money. It's actually much more than people think. And everybody clapped. What has taken place since I made that bold declaration? And I wasn't even doing it for that reason. What you speak, you attract. And what you speak against, you'll never have. Many people, if they would just stop saying stupid things, it's not that they need to make positive statements. If they just stop the negative things, it would remove the dam that's blocking their blessing. You know, houses aren't important to me. None of this would have ever happened if I said, I didn't have a house. I wasn't going after a house, but I have never looked at what anyone had and said, I don't need that. You know, they might have that. No, Father, thank you. Thank you that you said you'll inhabit homes that you did not build. They'll be furnished. You know that guy that gave us that house, then told us he's going to furnish it? I've quoted that. I've confessed it in this church. Deuteronomy 6, 10 and 11. You'll inhabit homes you did not build, furnished with goods you did not buy. That's what the Bible says. Can you say amen? Amen? How about who was here for 21 days of prayer and fasting for any of it? What was the whole word? Get ready for supernatural increase. Every day Christmas. Wake up every day with an expectation. You know, one of the guys I was at dinner with last night, he texted me on the way in. He said, I bet you didn't expect to get 50,000 last night at dinner. I texted back, you'd be amazed what I expect. Because the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow you how many days of your life? Oh, not here and there. Listen, if you grew up like I grew up in church, somebody had like one big testimony for their whole life, two big testimonies for their whole life. But this end time church is an Amos 9:13 church, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that sows seed. I tell every person in the sound of my voice, live, Pittsburgh, online, get ready for the best 8 months you've ever had. May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. God is going to deck out his children in the face of the devil. Go ahead, one more time, give the Lord a mighty hand clap and shout. You guys can get a praise song ready. I'm in a good mood. Confession. Just stop saying negative things. I never joined in with evangelists when I was young. I don't know why Jesse Duplantis needs a jet. I'd always, like, even if I got ready to, because I wasn't taught about that stuff, I'd feel like the Holy Ghost was like, Shh. Don't join them. Don't join in with them. Can you say amen? Let me have a major chord. I like that sound, but I felt like I was in the waiting room of a spa. waiting for a massage. That's all. Everybody say God. Amen. There it is. Everybody say God's a blesser of me as I serve him. That's right. So you just don't join in. You know, my, I don't know if my dad wants me telling this or not, but I've never let that stop me in the past. My dad and I were raised in the Assemblies of God. The Assemblies of God do not like Kenneth Hagin. That's where a split came. So my dad, we weren't raised in the faith movement. And all we did was hear people bash it. So my dad heard a guy preaching. This was a long time ago in the 1980s. And he was talking about name it, claim it, and prosperity. And the guy, the Assemblies of God guy goes, that's that Copenhagen doctrine. And everyone laughed because it was like chewing tobacco. So my dad stole his joke. And the next night when he preached at his place, he said that what that guy said without even really knowing what he was saying. And said, that's that Copenhagen doctrine. And he said, when I said it, I felt a bad feeling in my spirit. And so when I went home after the meeting, he said, the anointing like dried up. I said, Lord, what is that? And the Lord said, you spoke against two of my servants. You don't even know who they are. Send them both an offering as an apology. So my dad sent them both an offering. He got a thank you letter from Brother Hagin, from Brother Copeland. He got a thank you letter and a couple of tapes. So my dad started listening to that. We were $52,000 in debt. My sister was born with a heart defect. We didn't have any insurance. $100 for preaching a week, $200 for preaching a week. And my dad started to dive into that word. He didn't start preaching anything different, but started, instead of saying dumb stuff, that's like, I mean, I don't believe it. I don't need all that. Some people want houses and cars. I want a mansion over in glory. We don't have to pick. Everybody say, I can have it both. Things started to turn and turn and turn. Let me close with this. Do you want to know where I got faith for somebody to give me a house? My father, who never bought a home for himself, and my mother and me growing up, we always lived in small rented homes. And one day a lady called and said, Tiff, you're going to think I'm nuts, but the Lord spoke to me to give you my house. It was about a 5,000 square foot house on 7 acres of property. My dad likes deer. There's a breakfast room with floor to ceiling glass and deer come and feed while he has breakfast and he watches them. It was like God made a house for him. I saw that when I was 16 in 1996 and I had told my wife that. My dad never cared about him. Still doesn't. And I said, Adonis, let's see, because I feel like God will repeat what he did for my father. Let's just put everything, all our focus on building the church. And then when God feels we're under house, I bet he'll do the same thing he did for my dad. And it happened. It's not because he likes me. It's not because he likes my dad. It's not because we work hard. We never spoke against it. And when my dad went to speak against it, the Lord said, knock it off. It's going to hurt you. I was at a table one time with four other preachers. They were going around the table complaining about how hard it is in the ministry. And then they swung it to me. And I got ready to say, like, try to think of the worst story that happened to me in the ministry. The Lord, as clear as day, I was 23, said, don't join them. Notice they all said, we used to be evangelists. So if you would like to used to be in the ministry, talk like they talk. But if you want to stay in the ministry, start saying how wonderful it is to serve the Lord. How great it is that it's a good thing to serve the Lord, walking in light of his word. That forget not all of his benefits. Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all my sin, heals all my disease, ransoms my life from death. He fills my life with good things. And that's point number four, pathways. Pathway number three, confession. Number four, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my... You know, when people say they don't believe in prosperity, they don't have a doctrinal problem. They have a thankfulness problem. You can't stand in an air-conditioned, multi-million dollar church and tell people you don't believe in prosperity. You're living in it. You're actually just ungrateful. You have shod feet. You have socked feet. You pick what you're going to eat. Poor people can eat three times a day in America. You don't have a prosperity problem. You have a gratitude problem. I had somebody say, I don't believe in prosperity. I said, oh, you don't? I don't believe in that health and wealth gospel. Oh, you don't? Are we having this conversation in the intensive care unit? You're out from the hospital. You're breathing air. You're walking on two legs. How can you not be thankful? Until you thank God for what you have, nothing begins to multiply. You don't wait till you get the blessing to give thanks. Your thankfulness provokes the blessing. That's how we're going to close this service out in Pittsburgh and Texas. We're going to make up for lost time. We're going to lift up holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making a way where there is no way. Thank you for food to eat. Thank you for beverages. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for forgiven sin. Thank you that I see everything. Turn it around. Can you say amen? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Stay on your feet. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The Bible says that they were under attack and God gave them the way out. Send singers out ahead and shout unto God. And when they gave praise, the moment they began to praise God, the Lord sent ambushments against their enemy. And they began to fight each other. And they spent the next 4 days gathering up the spoil. They called that valley the Valley of Blessing because there was too much. God turned their problem into a valley of blessing. How many of you have ever heard me say, I don't believe in mountains and valleys? Yeah, I'm changing it today. I'll allow for one valley. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, after the enemies all killed each other, they spent 4 days gathering up the spoil. They called that valley the Valley of Blessing. I see every valley that you're in. The only valley that you're permitted to be in is the Valley of Blessing. Receive that today. Receive that today. Receive that today. I'm not in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm in the valley of blessing. Everybody shout the valley of blessing. Now lift your hands and let's thank God for about 60 seconds. Go ahead, you can play. Thank Him. Thank Him out of your mouth. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. I bless you, O Lord, with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's it. That's the anointing. I see everything. Turning around. Turning around for your good. In Jesus' name, we've prayed and given thanks. Everybody shouted aloud, amen. Everyone shouted aloud, amen. Lift both hands to the Lord. Say this, thank you, Father, that from today, the only valleys I walk in are the valleys of blessing, where the wealth of the wicked lays to collect. I'm going to scoop it up for me, for my children, for my children's children, for the kingdom of God. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to live like everybody else. I have a covenant with God. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands and begin to thank Him out of your mouth one more time. Come on, let's thank Him out of our mouth. Thank Him ahead of time for houses and property and lands and churches. Overflow, storehouses filled with grain, equipment, clothing, vehicles. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, you sound good. Yeah. Pause it real quick. I know some of today sound like I'm comparing myself with other churches and other churches in the area. I'm not, but I will say this. You could not get this volume of praise in many churches that have 6,000 people. Because they come and hear a show, they're not in it. This sounds like a lot, like thousand strong, because it has a thousand strong anointing already. Let's take 2 minutes and lift it up. Come on. We shout for the victory. We shout ahead of time. The devil is defeated. The devil is defeated. The devil's not over your head. The devil's under your feet. Come on, Pittsburgh. Come on, Texas. Lift him up. The children of God don't wait till the battle's over to shout. We shout ahead of time and don't even have to fight. I see everything you've been praying for coming to your path now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. This is not a political endorsement by any means. But they interviewed a construction worker in Manhattan. I don't know if you saw the clip. They said, are you? Because the unions that normally endorse Biden endorse Trump. So they asked this big Italian goatee construction worker. The reporter said, sir, are you surprised to see so much support for Trump in New York? He went, no. They said, why not? He went, everything's turning now. Now, when he said that, that's exactly what's happening in the spirit. I'm not talking Trump Biden, but everything is turning. It's not time for Iran to attack Israel. It's time for the gospel to be preached, for churches to be built, for people to be saved. I'm going to tell you what the Lord's going to do in that church that you gave us. Instead of it being empty or have some seminary graduate puking unbelief on people, it's going to be full of young people dancing in the Spirit, getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, getting called into ministry, just like you wanted to see. See, it's not time for that other stuff. It's our time. I said it's our time. What time's youth group tonight? Where at? Here? 7 o'clock right here. If you have a teenager, get them here. They don't want to come. Overpower them physically and get them here. That's why you're the father. And say abuse. I said overpower, not hit. Submission, hold. And get there. Can you say amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pittsburgh and here. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where the covenant begins. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing. You can teach all the principles out of the Bible and follow them, and you'll get some success, but you won't get enduring prosperity. Your mistress will take it. Alcohol will take it. Cocaine will take it. Until you're born again, there's holes in your basket. You have to be in covenant with God. See, you can't teach the success principles of the Bible and leave out being born again. Because until you're spiritually reborn, you can't truly get it. And once you get it, you can't grasp it. You'll lose it. But when you're born again, you become a seed of Abraham. I am the seed of Abraham. Everything God gave to him belongs to me. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he gave Abraham because of his faith. If you're here and you've never been born again, maybe as Jesus tarried his coming, you got yourself a girlfriend that you sleep with, boyfriend that you sleep with, you get drunk here and there, you've allowed yourself to settle down and sin started coming in. You say, Jonathan, I want to get rid of sin. I don't want sin to get rid of me. I'm not saying you have to come up, everybody that comes up is an alcoholic. And I'm just saying, people get involved in things that are sin. Jesus said it would happen. While the bridegroom waited, men became drowsy and slept, and their fire went out. If you've never received Jesus, or you once did and you fell away, and you need to come back to him today, I want to pray with you quickly. I will not hold you long. Your ride will wait for you. If they don't, we'll get you another ride. But I want you to make heaven. If you're here and you say, I need to do that in Pittsburgh and in Texas, I want you to lift your hand up high and wave it at me right now. We're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Put your hand up high. I see your hand. I see your hand. Who else? I see your hand. Who else? Put it up high where I can see it. Very quickly, if you lifted your hand and want to pray, please come to the front. I'm going to pray with you right now. We won't make a spectacle out of you. I want to pray with you. Come right now. Come right now. Go ahead and clap for them as they come. This is your day. You matter to God. You matter to us. Come, every hand lifted. In Pittsburgh, come right to the front. Who else before we pray? I want to give my life to Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Very quickly, lift both hands to the Lord. Pray this prayer with me from your heart. Heavenly Father, I've come forward today to give you my life. I turn my back on sin. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord and my Savior. Right now, I receive forgiveness. By the blood of Jesus, I am saved. I am forgiven. I am clean. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.